The TSA puts a 93-page internal security manual on the internet by mistake. The FAA proposes a recurring aircraft registration requirement. And forget free miles. How about a frequent flyer's tax? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, December 11th, 2009. Apparently, while the U.S. Transportation Security Administration has been denying general aviation pilots details on its new airport badge program, claiming the information is just too sensitive, it screwed up and put some of its most secret commercial airport screening procedures online for the world to see. ABC News reports the 93-page manual offered samples of congressional and law enforcement credentials that could be fairly easily duplicated, special screening procedures for law enforcement personnel, and instructions to TSA screeners to give extra attention to people traveling under passports issued from any of a dozen specified countries. The document also outlined the limitations of X-ray equipment and revealed that only 20% of checked bags are required to be searched for explosives. The manual was redacted, or had sensitive information blotted out, but it was done in a way that a reasonably computer-literate reader could easily recover and read what was supposed to be hidden. Senator Susan Collins, a Maine Republican and ranking minority member of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, noted the obvious. Quote, "On the day before the Senate Homeland Security Committee's hearing on terrorist travel, it's alarming to learn that the Transportation Security Administration inadvertently posted its own security manual on the Internet," unquote. TSA's defense so far is to claim that the document was outdated anyway. This scandal's going to be entertaining to watch on some level, but it's also a little discouraging. TSA screening at airports is a big part of the declining airline travel experience. There are reports the agency is not cooperative with local law enforcement agencies when its own employees are caught stealing from the public. Some ANPs will tell you they never had trouble with missing tools until Homeland Security got 24/7 access to their workspaces. Is there some point at which it's time to ask whether TSA is worth the downside? Here's a sign of the times in which we live. The FAA may soon require periodic renewals of aircraft registration in the U.S., in lieu of the current perpetual registrations that are renewed only when title is transferred. The change would increase the accuracy of the FAA registry, which was created in the 1980s when the use of aircraft for drug smuggling was a growing concern. In 1988, Congress officially expanded the FAA's role in supporting law enforcement agencies with accurate aircraft ownership information. According to the FAA's proposed new rule, all aircraft owners would have their current registrations canceled and be required to re-register and then periodically renew their aircraft at $26 a pop. FAA believes that this proposed action would not have a significant economic impact on a substantial number of small entities. GE Capital has submitted comments suggesting a requirement for positive verification of information in the registry rather than scrapping the entire system and requiring re-registration every 3 years. While there's no date set for any change in the registration rules, some industry insiders indicate the change could come as soon as the first quarter of 2010. The British chairman of the government's Committee on Climate Change is looking for ways to ensure that demand for airline travel in the UK does not grow more than 60% by the year 2050. He's floated an idea that frequent flyers in the UK should be charged higher taxes than those who fly only occasionally. Lord Adair Turner, the committee chair, offered the idea as one of several suggestions at the climate summit in Copenhagen. The Telegraph reports the airlines are not amused. Simon Evans, chief executive of the Air Transport Users Council, responds, quote, "I accept that there has to be a mature debate about mitigating our carbon footprint, but aviation should not be singled out. People fly for a wide range of reasons, and this would not only discriminate against people on low incomes, but also would mean that people who have to fly for work would face higher charges because they have used up their allowance," unquote. The council contends that better air traffic management, more efficient airplanes, and alternative fuels will do the job without adding taxes and fees. Up next on ANN, Cirrus wants to negotiate with the city of Grand Forks over back rent. The feds want to seize a Beechcraft Baron from an illegal immigrant. And a lawsuit stemming from a Learjet accident is settled out of court. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 11th. I'm Paul Plack. Cirrus Aircraft hopes to work with city leaders in Grand Forks, North Dakota, to restructure a lease on its facility there. City Administrator Rick Duquette tells the Grand Forks Herald the company owes $845,000 in back rent. Cirrus once employed 300 people in Grand Forks, but the recession has that down to 75, and new production efficiencies mean the days of needing 300 workers there, even in an economic recovery, are likely over. Cirrus President and CEO Brent Wouters is reported to have briefed city officials Monday night on the company's situation. The Herald says he projected a return to profitability for Cirrus in 2010. He even suggested that a 500 airplane sales year could produce record profits for the company. And that's a pretty big detail in Grand Forks because the city's not just the landlord. The city has owned stock in the company since 1991. The city has reportedly deferred the negotiation of Cirrus's repayment of back rent to its growth fund committee. The U.S. Attorney's Office in McAllen, Texas, wants to seize an airplane belonging to Jorge Aguiniga, a Houston car dealer being held on charges of illegal immigration. Aguiniga was arrested on board the plane, which is a 1978 Beechcraft Baron, at McCreary Aviation at McAllen Airport in July. WGBT Television reports Aguiniga first came to the U.S. illegally in the 1970s. He was granted resident status under the U.S. Immigration Reform and Control Act in the late 80s. He was later deported after a conviction and 3-year sentence for a cocaine charge. Federal prosecutors say he falsified paperwork to get back into the U.S. Now, they say his airplane is subject to forfeiture because he lied on FAA registration documents, saying he was a resident alien. Aguiniga's attorney, Gilberto Hinojosa, says neither the airplane nor its pilot was engaged in illegal activities, so his client should be able to pay the fines and penalties and keep the Baron. Travis Barker, the former drummer for the band Blink 182, has settled his lawsuit against Learjet and other companies stemming from an accident which killed both pilots and 2 other passengers on the plane in September 2008. Barker, along with radio host DJ AM, also known as Adam Goldstein, survived the crash at Columbia Metropolitan Airport in South Carolina. Goldstein has since died of an apparent drug overdose. The BBC reports that a lawyer for the companies involved declined to reveal the terms of the settlement. Barker had sued Learjet, along with Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company and Clay Lacy Aviation, the jet's owner, for failure to properly maintain the aircraft. The jet's thrust reversers were apparently not in the correct position during takeoff, which the NTSB said had caused it to veer off the runway and crash on a nearby road. Goldstein's estate says his death was brought on by post-traumatic stress following the crash and has sued the same 3 companies plus the estates of the 2 deceased pilots. Still ahead, Boeing says order deferrals are slowing down. Garmin's next-gen ready traffic systems now have an approved model list. And a Civil Air Patrol pioneer has gone west. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, December 11th. I'm Paul Plack. Given the year we've just been through, we'll call this good news. A Boeing official says the rate at which orders for new planes are being deferred by airlines has slowed, suggesting the bottom is in sight. CFO James Bell told industry analysts that only a few new requests for deferrals have come in since the third quarter ended October 1st. Before that, customers had asked to defer 215 aircraft deliveries this year. He also said he expects that Boeing will meet the low end of its delivery projections for 2009. Garmin says the FAA has granted an AMLSTC, or Approved Model List Supplemental Type Certificate, for Garmin's TAS and TCAS-1 traffic systems. The GTS 800, 820, and 850 are now okayed for installation in about 580 different aircraft makes and models, and Garmin says it expects to add more to the list next year. The GTS 800 series combines active and passive surveillance data to pinpoint specific traffic threats, The systems are touted as next-gen ready and use Garmin's patent-pending ClearCast technology to correlate ADS-B with radar targets for improved accuracy. The models vary in their exact features, power, and interrogation range and carry MSRPs ranging from about $10,000 to $25,000 U.S. They're being made available immediately. You can find more details on the story in the text version, dated December 10th, at aero-news.net. In a process that began over a year ago, but didn't happen fast enough for many, the National Association of Flight Instructors has opened nominations for the first three NAFI directors to be elected by the organization's membership. NAFI Executive Director Jason Blair says, quote, "The process begins with nominations from our members. That will be followed by voting on qualified nominees by the NAFI membership on a ballot to be inserted into an upcoming NAFI Mentor magazine," unquote. NAFI wants individuals who can dedicate their time and expertise to serve in industry leadership roles on the board. Directors are responsible for providing governance input, helping to direct member committees, working with organization development goals, and providing support to the overall NAFI organization and its staff. Nominees must be current members of NAFI and have held membership for three continuous years. Ideal candidates will have broad experience in the flight training industry and contacts and resources that will promote and improve the organization. And finally today, Eddie Edwards went to work for the Civilian Coastal Patrol, that's the predecessor of today's Civil Air Patrol, and searched coastal waters for signs of German U-boats off Delaware. In March of 1942, he became the first Coastal Patrol pilot to radio in a report of a sub sighting. The Navy responded and drove the U-boat farther out to sea. That same year, Eddie and a fellow CP pilot, Colonel Hugh Sharp, made a dramatic sea rescue of another civilian pilot off the Delaware coast. Their Sikorsky rescue amphibian was damaged in the water landing at sea. With Sharp at the controls, Edwards crawled out on a wing strut to counterbalance a missing pontoon. He hung there for 10 hours while Sharp water taxied the unflyable Sikorsky toward shore. For that, Eddie received the first Air Medal of World War II to be presented personally by the President of the United States to any U.S. airman, accepting it from FDR later the same year. Edwards made senior grade lieutenant during 3 years in the Navy and served another 27 years in the Reserve, during which he pursued an active role in Delaware civil aviation. For a number of years, he ran the FBO and instructed at Weimar Airport at Newark, Delaware. There are very few members of the greatest generation still with us, and now there's one less. Eddie Edwards passed away December 5th at the age of 96 after what was described as a long illness. Never miss the chance to say thank you. There aren't very many opportunities left. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, how has the recession affected your own flying? We'll hear comments from attendees at AOPA Summit. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.